Hello, my name is Graham. You may know me from various places online as Paladin777.
And I'm Jason Rutherford, the creator of the Iron Showcase, and this is the Battlefield. Episode 3 of the Battlefield, the official podcast of the Online Army Showcase at army.rocketsoftware.com. And today, from the figures in front of us, we're going to talk about Warhammer 40K. Now, like Warhammer 40K and the other Game Workshop games, kind of have this nasty reputation about them being really expensive to get into and start playing, and honestly, to some extent, that's somewhat true.
I would agree entirely.
If you had to take a guess, but how much have you spent on your Warhammer 40K figures?
Last time I figured it out, which wasn't too very long ago, was about $950. That's a lot, but then I gotta have a lot of stuff.
That's actually not too bad for all the stuff you have. I mean, I'd say I've been playing 40K for maybe just under a year. I've probably spent maybe $600 on my Tau Army, my Forest Tigers, which you can see on an Army Showcase. So, one thing I'd like to try to do today is show you some 400-point patrol armies. The patrol rules were developed as basically a quick introduction to the world of Warhammer 40K and make it a little bit easier for new players to get in without spending a lot of money.
Either that, or if you don't have a whole lot of time on your hands and you really feel like playing a game, because the games can extend, a full-size game can extend for a couple of hours.
Oh yeah. But the actual rules for the patrol rules are actually found on Games Workshop website. They have an article from an old White Dwarf magazine, which I will link to in the show notes. But just to give you a quick recap of what the patrol rules are about, is they're a maximum of 400 points for an army. You must take at least one troop choice. An HQ choice is not required, but it's optional, but you only have a maximum of one. See, there is no character may have more than two wounds. There are no 2+ armor saves. And no vehicle can have a greater armor value of 33, which means you add the front, side, and rear armor values together, they can't be greater than 33. So I think that's most of them. So let's start here with Ram and his little 400-point Elder Armory, and let him explain some of the tactics, like why he chose the units, and about how much he thinks something like that army would cost.
Okay, first off, my Elder Army is not my primary army. Well, not by much, it's not my primary army, but it's... Since I knew I was going to be facing Tau, I decided to go close combat. But then again, that's what my Elder Army excels at anyway, so it's really not that hard of a decision. I chose Striking Scorpions because Tau are not known for extreme armor saves amongst the normal troops, and Striking Scorpions have a relatively high strength and lots of attacks per model, and best of all, they can infiltrate. And then for my troop choice, I chose Storm Guardians, which are basically your rank and file troops that are decent at close combat, or at least when accompanied by one of these guys, a warlock. And so, since that's really the only troop choice I have, I kind of got forced to taking it, but that's okay, because that's what I wanted to take anyway. And as for this vehicle right here, this is what's known as a Viper, and I chose it because it has lots and lots of high-strength shots at a reasonable range for a very reasonable price in points cost.
How many shots did he get? Is it seven of them?
Seven strength, six shots.
Smirks, that'll wipe out some of these smaller squads he got here in the other
front. Oh, yeah.
Or at least get them to run away, you know?
It's like, hey, is that those troops over there? Wait a minute, not anymore.
And the fact is, you say it's a fast vehicle, right? So
yes.
Doesn't that mean any armor penetration shots to it are just a glancing hit? You can't actually get an armor penetration shot.
Correct. That's just simply a skimmer rule moving more than 6 inches.
Rule.
It doesn't actually even have to be a fast attack slot.
Okay.
For example, I have heavy supports. I have for my Elder Army that are also skimmers. That if they move more than 6 inches, they can only be glanced, which combined with a few other pieces of vehicle war gear, makes them near indestructible, which is one of the fortes of Eldar.
That sounds kind of nasty. So why don't you also explain, you got some other Chaos figures here. Why don't you just tell a little bit about what those are
about. My primary army, and once again, not by much, I do both most of them at this like the same, is Chaos, which is, my Chaos is one that most people don't play. It's Thousand Sons, or the go into the deity of Tzeentch, the Chaos God of Tzeentch, which is the Lord of Sorcery, Change, and... intrigue, so to speak. I have, but since the reason I didn't use it for this list is because each model is 24 points apiece at the very least, and that just doesn't end up being a very large army. What I have here is just a tank, a dreadnought, a chaos demon prince, and then a chaos lord.
So that's the guy I kind of hit over.
Yes,
here,
and then I kind of put him over there and forgot about it. Let's hope I don't do that when I go home.
That's a nice figure. I bet he can get some money off eBay.
Yeah.
What do you say? Maybe, how much figure does this guy about retail for? You'd say 30 bucks?
Yeah.
20 bucks?
Well, in total parts, it probably took me about $20 to make them.
That's a nice paint job. I bet I get 30 on eBay for him. 25 at least.
You do that, I kill you.
Alright then, well, I guess do you have anything else to mention about your Eldar at the moment?
Eldar rule, simply put.
That sounds like Eldar. Alright, well then, also, over here, I've got actually a Tau 400-point patrol. Let me get him out of the way. And a Tyranid 400-point patrol. And I've got one other rule that was for the patrol armies was you have to have painted models. Which, for those of you who are watching the video podcast, you can tell that, well, a lot of my Tyranids are not painted up just quite yet. So I just literally bought these things 2 days ago, and I kind of just threw the army together. So I must admit, I never actually played a battle with a Tyranid. I fought against them several times, so I'm going to try to make up the tactics on the fly. Hopefully they make sense. So let's begin with them. In the very back here, I've got a Warrior Brood. The Warrior Brood is obviously three warriors, one Venom Cannon, and two...
Barb Stranglers?
The Death Spitters. So you can only have either one Venom Cannon or one Barb Strangler.
Oh, okay. Three. I was mistaken.
Yes, that would be nice if you could have three of those. But no, unfortunately that's not allowed by the Codex.
That would be painful.
And each of these guys come out to be about 29 to 30-some points. So, with them in the back, let's move up a bit here to the Gene Stealers. They're your pretty standard troops, except that I've actually given them an extended carcass, which is another couple points a model. The advantage of that is obviously it boosts their, let's see, what's their...
Their armor save is normally a
5 yeah,
plus,
normally
and boosts it to a 4 plus,
plus,
which makes them ignore many races' basic weapons' armor-piercing value.
Like, the Tau have armor-piercing 5, and they're very, a lot of their weapons,
yes.
Space Marines, bolters,
are,
so that will give them a
yes.
lot better survivability.
Almost every, vast majority of races, their basic weapons are armor-piercing value of 5, which will ignore an armor save of 5 plus or worse, which makes them, at 4 plus, able to take them.
So very nice. So these guys are, they're actually about 24 points apiece with the extended carcass, so they are not a cheap unit to have. But with rending claws and 3 attacks and a charge, you can rip through a lot of stuff. Like, a while back, I was playing actually with my own Tau army, and we were doing a 2,000-point team battle, so we each had 1,000 points. I had 1,000 points Tau, and the guy who was playing with me was 1,000 points of the Ultramarines Space Marines. And for some reason, he thought it'd be a good idea to take his nice, shiny Terminator squad and charge a group of Gene Stealers, 8 of them, with a Broodlord.
I have to ask a question. What was he thinking?
I don't know. I don't know what he was thinking.
Nobody charges Gene Stealers.
Yeah.
Nobody. Unless they happen to be Eldar Harlequins, which are very similar, except they get to attack first if they charge. That's the only thing that I can think of that would actually do well against Gene Stealers.
Because, I mean, he had like a couple storm bolters, a few missile packs, a sort of weapons like Terminators, but he just charged right into them, took down maybe 2 Gene Stealers, and the Rending Claws came back and ripped like half his squad.
The Rending Claws should have come first.
Really? I don't know. The end result was he lost 3 Terminators, and the other guy lost about 2 Gene Stealers. I was off over here shooting at some other guys, so I really wasn't paying the full detail. Maybe he did attack first, but...
Yeah.
But they were both fairly two new players playing, so neither of them really, they might have screwed up in case of, you know, the Terminator attacking first.
I've been playing for about 2 years, 2-3 years, and so I know a few things about each army.
There's always a lot of little rules you guys gotta sit down. I mean, I know I've screwed up a few times in the past these rules, and whoops. And you look back, man, I could have done a lot better if I knew that one little rule. Like,
yep.
Took you all the darn.
Know that feeling.
The stealth field generator and the stealth battle line, right? Didn't know about those for the first 2 months I played with these guys, and that would have saved me a lot. But anyway, back to my Tyranids here. At the Gene Stealers, you've got the Ormegaunts. Obviously, they're standard ones with they have extended carpus. They give them another plus one in their armor save, bring them to 5 plus. While that doesn't necessarily help them a lot in shooting, It'll help them, obviously, when they get in close combat where they want to be with their three attacks and a charge. And they also give them the adrenal glands to boost up their weapon skill a little bit.
It should be weapon skill 4, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so. I don't remember.
It should be weapon skill 4.
So yeah,
which puts them on par with my Elder.
And then last but not least in the front here, we've got the Termagants. I chose the Termagants 1 because I know many new players have probably had the Battle for Mockery starter set, which comes
McCrag
with...
anyway.
Is that how it's pronounced?
Yes, McCrag.
McCrag. Well, now I know how to pronounce that darn word. I'm not very good at pronouncing a lot of these things. I mean...
Like carapace?
Carapace, yes. What did I say? I'd say carpus, don't I?
Yes,
that?
You do.
In the last episode, I was talking about a lizard man, and I don't know how to pronounce the name of their little realm. Lustria or Lustria or something like that.
I don't know that game.
So anyway, with the Battle of...
McCrag.
Battle of McCrag, because that gives you 10 Termagants. So right there, adding this battalion with the those 10 Termagants to get a nice sizable force. But also, they have the fun little without number special ability. So if they get wiped out, they're going to come right back on the board. Which that's why I generally had them line up in front here, so they can run up and charge and take the brunt of the assault. And, you know, who cares if 6 of them, they all get cut down. As long as the Gene Stealers and the Ormagons get up there in close combat, they're the ones who are going to really do most of the damage. And I probably should just mention quickly why I chose these particular units. Because actually all these Termagants here are actually, not Termagants, all these Tyranids are actually available in the Battalion box set for about $90, what Games Workshop sells it for now. And you get all these guys, plus there's a few more Gene Stealers off the side and some Ripper Squads. And eventually when they expand your army, you've always got a nice start with a big, massive Carnifex here. But
Carnifexes rule, even though I don't play them. I hate them, but they rule. I cannot argue with the Carnifex.
My very first game, I learned why you don't let these guys get in base contact with you. Ooh, boy. Half a Marine squad got in one attack.
Sounds about right. And then they start running away, and, and he runs them down.
Yes. Unfortunately, though, in patrol rules, this guy's base wounds of 4. He's not coming out, so.
Nope.
Probably a good thing.
Makes me happy.
Yes. So let me go ahead now.
Otherwise, he'd have Wraith Lords on his butt. Wraith Lords rule. What's his card effects?
So let me see here. Now if I just kind of close my little laptop down so I get in my Tau forces here. The Tau army, I chose them. They're all from the Tau Battalion box set, which also retails for $90. In the back, you've got a Crisis Battle Armor. I gave him a missile launcher for the 36-inch range, and also it's got the strength of 7, so you can actually engage some light vehicles. Like, what's the,
10.
All directions about?
All directions.
So therefore, you actually have a fair chance to engage most of the light vehicles you're going to encounter in a patrol match. Like, most of them have to have at least one side of the 10 armor. You've got, I actually got 2 squads of 6 fire warriors. The reason I did this is the whole issue of Tau in close combat. Tau die, they die spectacularly. So you don't really want them in this case where if you have all 12 in one squad, they lose their close combat, they run away, they have such a low initiative, they will get cut down and all massacred really, really quickly.
It doesn't bode well for him if he does that.
No, yeah. So that's one of the reasons why I split them up into 2 squads of 6. So you want to keep them apart, so if one squad loses close combat, and most of you lost half your fire warriors.
You've only lost half your fire warriors, as opposed to all of them.
Yes.
Because, once again, I am playing a close combat army, and they're really good at it. And his, well, aren't.
We must shoot as many of you guys dead as we possibly can. So that brings the issue of both squads of fire warriors have the 6 normal guys, and they have the 1 promoted to whatever the next rank up is. They get
Shots V, whatever.
But yeah, they each have their 10-point boost team leader, and that team leader is bonded, which means even if they're less than 50%, they can still regroup. It's kind of halfway in between what these guys have with the Space Marines have, which is kind of nice.
I wish I had that.
So that even if they manage to do a runaway in close combat, they have a fair chance they're going to regroup.
If they're not already run down, because mine are all at very high initiative.
Yes. And mine are very, very, very low. But then back to the Crisis again, one more note of him. He has a multi-tracker on him, which allows him to fire both his weapons in the same turn. And of course, protecting him, we got actually 2 gun drones. So those give him really more basic cannon fodder. Get picked off than anything, but
yeah,
it always helps to keep them alive a little bit longer.
What's the save on a Crisis suit? Isn't it 3+?
3+.
I thought so.
Yep, 3+.
Good, it means I can actually It means I can actually take him out with him, possibly. That would help.
And then you've got the stealth suits. These are three stealth suits. All of them are armed with burst cannons. And they're... Basically, in the case of the battalion box, you've got your choice between the stealth suits, or you could take these guys away and put in your 12 Kroot warriors, which also come in the battalion set. It's your choice. I chose the stealth suits mainly because they've got the jump packs, which is a lot of people consider the most disgusting, most filthiest tactic in the game, where obviously they move their 6 inches, unload on you, and then in the assault phase, jump back 6 inches.
Yes,
therefore pulling out
of
range.
Of that one.
And that's also, the Crisis Battle Armor also has that as well, which gives them very nice mobility and kicks off a lot of players. Especially with the stealth suits and the stealth field generators. If you can keep them, you know, back around, say engage at 18 inches, where there's the maximum range of the burst cannon, fall back, the stealth field generator have a very good chance of avoiding any shots that come their way. And then, obviously, last, over here we've got the Devilfish Transport, which obviously also comes in the battalion set. Just a burst cannon and two gun drones. And this has to be a dedicated transport to one of these two firewarrior squads. It doesn't matter which one you want. Either one is perfectly fine. So I think just a quick general tactical overview of how you use these troops is the firewarriors with the pulse rifles, they're generally going to sit still and just be a base of fire. Because,
and unload.
Yes, because we all know Tau have our one-trick pony. They have lots of guns, and that's all, and they're going to use them. So, some people complain when you're in like a full-size game, you're rolling like 30, 40 attack dice around, you're shooting stuff, watching guys fall down.
Just wait till I get to close combat. I do that too.
And then, so therefore, that's going to be your base of fire. Your crisis and your stealth teams are probably going to be the most mobile, moving around just about every turn, trying to get within range of all their weapon systems. And the one note, just in general with the Tau, you want to keep your guys about 6 inches apart. The main reason for that is when they die in close combat, no unit, at least very few units I know of, I don't know of any, can consolidate more than 6 inches.
I don't think there's any that can actually consolidate after combat. There's different ones that can fall back, 2d6 or 3d6 or whatever, with the hit and run rule. But that's a little different.
Yes. In general, yes. They after you guys get wiped out, they're basically... keep them 6 inches apart, the guys can't re-engage somebody. So they're left in the open and you just absolutely unload every single shot you got going in at them. It's a great way to take on chaos demons in the case when I do meet them. See here then, the front squadron of Fire Warriors, I gave them the Pulse Carbines, which what they don't do as much as many attacks as the Pulse Rifles, and they have a shorter range, but they do pin guys when they hit, which can be very, very helpful to the Tau. Obviously, you pin them for a turn. That's another turn of a substantial amount of fire. You can bring down the unit to take it down. And they're also their assault weapons, so I can move my 6 inches and still go ahead and unload on the people. So it makes them another fairly mobile group. If I had to take a pick of the Devilfish, which squad I'd assign it to, I'd probably assign it to the back squad here with the pulse rifles, mainly because they're less mobile. So if you absolutely need to get them out in a hurry, you can load them up and just zip them away. And because I've actually equipped the Devilfish with a multi-tracker. The vehicle multi-tracker, unlike the battlesuit multi-tracker, makes this guy a fast vehicle. He can move his 12 inches and still use all his weapons. Or at least the main pulse, his burst cannon there.
He should be able to use the other ones too.
I believe he yes, he can.
Yes. I know, Eldar. I use fast vehicles exclusively. I know.
Are all your vehicles fast vehicles?
Every vehicle that Eldar has is fast vehicle or a walker. And there's only one walker.
So one last thing, question about your Eldar over here is, how much do you say this entire army of Eldar would cost? If you had to take a pick.
This guy was $10, or $10 base price anyway, it was on sale. Mm-hmm. A box of 8 Storm Guardians is $30, and since I have 14 right here, it was 2 times 30, so it was 60, once again on sale. And then 2 of these is 10, so... let's see, 2, or 10, 20, 30, this guy was another, so 40, 110, plus another 25, so $135.
Not too bad for a starting army compared to what you could really spend, so, let's see here. I guess, do you have anything else you want to add with your armies, or? I think I did a pretty good little job describing my various tactics I'm going to be using.
I think I'm alright.
Probably a little bit shorter episode of a podcast this week, but On a few last notes, I'm working to get the actual pages on the online army showcase up for the our various armies here if you want to check out some more details on them. So if you go to, let's see, for my Tau 400 point patrol, I believe it would be, well, I'll post my show notes, but it should be army.rockoffsoftware.com/, I believe it's forest_tigers_patrol, because they're obviously part of my Forest Tiger division that I already have up there. The Tyranids, once I go ahead and get them all painted up, well, I'll go ahead and put them up on a page and I'll add them to the show notes, but that probably won't be for a few weeks at the rate I'm going here. Let's see. And Hazeldar, we're setting up a page for those right now as we're doing this. And they will be army.rockosoftware.com/Eldar, all lowercase, _patrol. And let's see, with just about that, I guess we're done with this episode of the podcast. But I just want to take a few quick minutes to mention some of the upcoming episodes I'm planning. So I'm trying to get a little more diversity in games here. One of them I'm working on trying to get some people together for a Babylon 5, a Call to Arms game, for any players to play that game out there. At some point in the future, I want to revisit these patrol armies, and then using these as a base, build them up and be 1,000-point armies. You get a much larger game and get an idea of how much that's going to cost for players to get into it.
Yes, and 1,000-point games normally take about an hour and a half or so.
So now, like, at least the Games Workshop place I usually play, we usually play about 1,000 points just as our standard game, just to kind of limit time and...
I normally play at a friend's house, so I can take a little bit longer. My normal game is about 2,000 points, and so that takes about 4 or 5 hours.
Another fun little episode I'm working on, I know, for all the MechWarrior Dark Age players out there, you probably got a whole host of old, useless figures. If you're like me, I have a big cover box, I call my cover box of crap, from all the joy of buying the random boosters, which I refuse to do from this point on. But, what you can do with some of the old useless figures, from the constructive ideas, such as, you know, learning how to paint with stuff and doing cool diagrams, to more destructive things, such as airsoft weapon targets, which is a lot of fun. I've used those before. That's definitely a lot of fun. And that's it. Well, that's just about it for now. So, well, thanks for listening to episode 3. If you have any questions or comments for me, I can be reached at jason@rockosoftware.com. And with that, just have a good night.
And I can be reached at emerald-paladin@hotmail.com.
Copyright 2007, Rocko Software, Warhammer, McCraig, Eldar, Tyranids, Tau, Faction Logos, and Character Names are trademark charges in the workshop. Music by The Transfer was acquired from www.podsafeaudio.com.